you seen the video of the guy in Chile? He's in a kayak. He's on the water off the coast. And all of a sudden, a humpback whale opens its mouth and he disappears into it. Here's a report from ABC News.
This, you got to see, video to our monitors from off the coast of Chile. This is a kayaker meeting a whale, and not in the way you want to meet a whale. A kayaker chomped, in fact, right there in the water by the whale. In fact, he says he thought he was dead after that humpback whale nearly swallowed him. The young man's dad capturing it all on his phone. Here's the moment. There's the chomp. Well, his dad was saying, stay calm in the moment, like a dad does. Seconds later, that humpback whale, well, the humpback whale stayed calm enough to open its jaws and let the kayaker go. Thank goodness he's okay. He made it back to shore unharmed.
So he lived to tell the tale. He wasn't exactly swallowed whole. Could he really have ended up in the stomach of a giant humpback whale? We're going to find out now. Let's say hello to Padraig Cooley, who's sightings officer with the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. He joins us from his home in County Cork. Hello, Padraig. How are you? Is this possible? Is it real even?
Well, it's a very interesting video, and your initial question nowadays is when you see videos like this, because we see videos like this all the time, is it real? And we've had a couple of false starts in recent years, and I'm thinking of, you know, great white sharks in Galway Bay, which turned out to be in southern Australia. So you always have to ask yourself, is this real? And yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, the video clip is real. And it was a case of a small craft getting way too close to a large whale.
The wrong place at the wrong time, Padraig. But could this whale have actually swallowed him? Could he have ended up in its digestive tract?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the answer is really no. Like, even whales that are much bigger, like the biggest whale on the planet, the blue whale, the entrance from their mouth, if you like, into that tract or the esophagus is actually really small. It's only about 4 to 6 inches. So although whales are animals that feed on vast quantities of food, they're feeding on very, very small prey items. So even if it wanted to, the whale biologically or physically could not have actually swallowed a person. They really can't eat anything much bigger than a grapefruit.
I wonder if, in fact, it is a case of an accident. Your whale is going along. He's sending out pulses. He can see what's ahead, and he must run into things like barrel jellyfish and things like that ahead of him, and he knows he's got to swing to the left or swing to the right, or a keel of a ship coming towards him. Now, he's going along, and this thing is on the surface, and it's too late for our friend the whale to do anything about it. Whales must have mechanisms for avoiding these kinds of situation.
They do, of course, yeah, but there's an awful lot happening, Richard, during a feeding event, and you've got a hungry whale, it's feeding, its focus is on the food. Now, we've seen situations down here locally in West Cork where there were mortality events of seabirds, and I remember out with Colin Barnes and the Holly Joe, must be 15, 20 years ago nearly, and there had been a feeding event. It had been a fin whale in this instance. You could see scales on the water, but also on the water were between 20 and 30 dead and dying gulls and gannets. I think there were predominantly herring gulls, but most of the animals that were dead were gannets and young animals. So there you had a situation where there was a mortality associated with a large whale feeding. So, you know, the whale, even though they're, you know, they've lots of devices and they've got a brilliant 3D underwater and an acoustic visual, if you like, of what's happening around them, you know, they do make mistakes. And often, especially the likes of seabirds, if they're in amongst the fish, they are going to fall foul. And of course, the whale can't even swallow a gannet because, as I said, the entrance to the esophageal tract is actually very, very small. But you still end up in that situation with dead seabirds. But we've actually seen that on more than one occasion. So, you know, accidents do happen, of course. But as you say, this was just a question of small boat. And of course, a small boat, you know, it wasn't even a big kayak. It was one of these very, very small kayaks, and it's about people giving these large grazing whales space, especially when they're feeding. Only in the last couple of weeks, we ran a workshop with all the Whale Watch and the marine tourism operators down here in West Cork and Kerry, you know, just to discuss a guideline for how boats and small craft should behave. So, you know, this video going viral is actually well timed, because it's something that the National Parks and Wildlife Service here in Ireland are very interested in drafting really good guidelines so these sort of events don't happen. And we have seen photographs and videos here from the Irish Southwest that are just bizarre. You know, people put themselves in situations unnecessarily where they just don't give animals space, and they are always an accident waiting to happen. The onus really has to be on us, the boat owners and the boat users, to make sure that the approach is correct, the minimum distance is correct. We would say about 100 yards respectful distance, and that people don't spend too long when they're on boats watching whales. You know, limit your time to a maximum of 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how many boats are in the area. So it is about taking a common sense approach. And I know, having whale watched all my life, you know, there's nothing you want more than to show people this activity as close as possible. But you do need to be mindful that there is an inherent risk in getting too close to wildlife.
I was thinking there, Pádraig, this was a baleen whale, which filters in huge amounts of water to get things through its baleen. But we have toothed whales as well. I mean, the sperm whale is quite a large animal. Is that the one that gobbled up Jonah all those years ago in the Bible in the Mediterranean? I know that's an apocryphal tale. But sperm whales actually kill and feed on animals that are much bigger than krill. So would there be an example of that the sperm whale might do that? Or do sperm whales feed on the bottom or lower down and would never have their mouths open at the surface? What's the situation with those toothed whales?
The sperm whale absolutely is the largest of our adult, 3,000 metres. So, yeah, it's not, you know, in terms of human whale interaction for the likes of these deep diving species like the sperm whale, it's really not an issue at all. So we are largely talking here about our rorqual whales, our baleen whales. And most of these whales do most of their feeding in coastal waters, you know, within 20, 30 kilometres of our coastline, because that's where all the productivity in the sea is. I mean, you can cross large expanses of ocean and rarely see whales. But then you get these pockets of abundance. And more often than not, those pockets of abundance are actually remarkably close to shore.
Now, the other species I wanted to ask you about is the basking shark. Now, people have all these dares or tasks to get pictures of basking sharks with their mouths open. And large basking sharks are very big and their mouths seem to be enormous. I mean, is there any fear that somebody would be sucked into the mouth of a basking shark? It certainly looks large enough to accommodate a person from the pictures you see of them.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, the biggest of basking sharks can be up to 10 metres. And I have never heard of any incident. You know, they're very, very benign animals. And I've never heard of an incident of a person, you know, a basking shark's mouth, even when the maws are fully open, when it's, you know, it's grazing on that plankton. It's really, you're talking about a much smaller scale of a feeding event when compared to a bubble net feeding or a lunge feeding humpback whale on the surface. Its mouth is going to be, you know, orders of magnitude bigger. But yeah, basking sharks, you know, and again, in the guidelines we're including with National Parks and Wildlife Service, we will be including basking sharks and the likes of leatherback turtles and other marine species in these guidelines. But again, it's about respecting these animals. And if you are swimming with basking sharks, you know, the recommendation is that you keep an absolute minimum distance of 4 metres, because the threat from a basking shark isn't the mouth. The threat from a basking shark is actually getting whacked by its tail.
That wouldn't do you any good. But back to the humpback whales, are they becoming more common? I was just noticing that while you're speaking of them being off the west coast, there have been records of them in the Irish Sea and indeed off Howth Head. I mean, I know it was a young one and was in the wrong place, but still in all, are we seeing more humpback whales now than maybe 20 years ago? Or is it just that people have their cameras and phones and are taking more pictures of them? Is the situation actually improving for them?
I would say in my capacity as sightings officer of the Irish Whale and Dofra Group, I would say we're kind of in a holding position with humpback whales. We have seen a dramatic change, I would say. If we were having this conversation 20 years ago and you were to ask me where was the best place to see humpback whales, there was only one place, West Cork, say between sort of Roaches Point and Cork Harbour and Cape Clear Island. That was probably one of the best places in the northeast Atlantic to see humpback whales. About 12, 15 years ago, that started shifting west to West Kerry. So I'd say around the Blaskets, Sleighhead Peninsula, that area. In the last 3 to 4 years, we have seen a dramatic shift away from West Kerry up, you know, towards the likes of the Cage of Fields area, Broadhaven Bay in Mayo, and now in the last 2 years off Donegal. So it's very clear the data is screaming at us that our humpback whales, like every other marine species, are tracking further and further north. So I would say now in the last 2 of the last 3 years, Donegal Bay is where all eyes should be watching. So it's very dynamic and it's changing really, really fast. And, you know, we have a good network. We've got lots of sightings data and the data is telling us that, yeah, humpbacks are doing well and they're doing well globally as a species. It's thought that populations around the world are recovering at about 7% per annum. But more interestingly, is where they're occurring, and that is a rapidly evolving situation. So what I would have said, you know, 20 years ago, the best place to see humpback whales has probably dropped down from first place to second place back down to third place. So everything, and it's the same as the prey items. And if you're talking to fisheries colleagues in the United States, they're all saying the same. All of these species are looking for colder waters because the preference for forage fish, and in Ireland you're talking about the likes of sprat and herring, these are all colder water species. And as our waters get warmer, to find that sort of gold spot, they're all tracking further north. And of course, where the prey items go, the predators are following.
Returning to that incident, Pádraig, of the kayak being hit. Now, a whale, it seems to me, has very poor sight, relatively speaking. The water is murky, can't see very far. He's using his echolocation system to see what's ahead of it all the time. And I think it's true that the humpback isn't the fastest of swimmers, despite the huge pectoral fins. It isn't the fastest, it's not that manoeuvrable compared to some other whales. Now, one of the causes of mortality that's emerging with whales is collision by ships. They're being run down by ships, and the ships are going very fast. Now, is the warning system, the sensory system that these whales have of ships coming towards them defective? Is this an indication of how defective it is or how inadequate it is when ships are approaching them?
Great question. And there's a couple of things there. One of them is the masking effect. As there is more, I mean, when we think about shipping and traffic on the ocean, 95% of everything gets to our homes by sea. You know, we think of air cargo. It's tiny relative to the numbers of ships that are out there. Almost everything gets to us in Ireland via the sea. So our oceans are getting, they're getting more cluttered. And a lot of these places where there's shipping routes happen to coincide with whale hotspots. So, and as we've got more commercial freight on the water, our ocean is getting noisier. So there is a masking effect where whales are just not able to hear as well. And when they're not able to hear as well, that's a big part of their weaponry, if you like, for actually detecting what's up ahead. And if you've got a situation where there's a ship coming, it just may as simply not be aware that. And of course, it's the fact that ships are getting faster. It's a combination of ships getting more powerful and they're getting faster and they are more numerous. So it really is, you know, we're brewing up a little bit of a perfect storm, and ship strike collisions is thought to be an absolutely, you know, especially for some species that are doing very poorly, and I'm thinking of the North Atlantic right whale, about 1% of that population, that remnant population every year, is killed by a combination of ship strike by large vessels and entanglement in fishing gear, and that's completely unsustainable. So ship strike is an issue that lots lots of NGOs such as the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group are working closely with partners in Europe under various projects to try and mitigate the collision risk. But it's very real and it's getting worse.
Fascinating stuff. Porrick, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
More information about the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group can be found on our website, rte.ie/Mooney. Now,